Hello everyone, this is Dave Levinsky from Growth Inc. Today I am interviewing, and I'm very excited to interview, Perry McIntosh. Perry is an accomplished journalist who has and is in the process of writing several books for the American Management Association. Perry was the author of the 2009 book entitled The Busy Manager's Guide to Delegation, and will soon be releasing two new titles via the American Management Association called Becoming a Manager, and the second one being Using Influence at Work. And I'm excited to interview Perry about, you know, how entrepreneurs and managers can better delegate in order to achieve results. And actually, one thing I forgot is, if you want to look at Perry's books, you can go to like Amazon.com, type in Perry McIntosh, or McIntosh's McIntosh, and the first listing there is going to be the Busy Manager's Guide to Delegation. And so today I'm really excited to talk with Perry about how entrepreneurs, how managers, how business owners can better delegate in order to achieve results. But before I get to my questions, I'd first like to thank Perry for taking the time to speak with me today.
Oh, thank you, Dave, for inviting me. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent, great. So let's start at the very beginning of the process, Perry. You know, why is delegation important for any, you know, manager, entrepreneur, or business owner?
Well, I've never met a manager or entrepreneur who has enough time to do what he or she needs to do.
Okay.
There's not enough hours in the 24-hour day to do all the things that even that anyone needs to do. And I think an entrepreneur has about 12 times as many tasks as your average manager, because they tend to be, shall we say, resource constrained.
Mm-hmm.
They end up with a lot of chores around running the business, around finance, around marketing and sales, in it that in a larger business that was more built out, you would have a staff of a cast of thousands, as it were,
right,
to take care of. And so entrepreneurs don't tend to start there, and so they don't have time. And therefore, in order to be successful, the only way they can be successful is by focusing on what they are good at, what brought them to their business in the first place.
Hmm.
And the only way they can focus is by delegating.
Okay, great answer. So, what are the key steps then, if, you know, delegating is clearly something they need to do, what are the key steps to effective delegating?
Well, I would, of course, say the very first key step is to hire carefully. Because
okay.
every time you hire, you're delegating, essentially. And entrepreneurs have something of a reputation of being a little on the controlling side, and so that you really need to have hired well
okay.
to begin with. But then after that, the key steps are, first of all, to figure out what you can delegate, what thing you can move off of your plate onto the plate of someone who works for you. And then you need to figure out who you can give that task to. And it's really critical when you delegate something that you delegate not only the nitty-gritty task and the responsibility for accomplishing that task,
mm-hmm.
but the ability and the authority to make decisions around that task, so that you really are delegating the whole thing to that person. Then, after you've selected someone, then you want to assign the task to them. And in so doing, you want to really lay out what it is, what the parameters are, what success looks like, any limitations. You can say, I need you to do this by next Tuesday, and you can spend $10,000,
mm-hmm.
whatever the limitations are. You need to make that clear, and also what you want success to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, once they begin work on the task, and you want to monitor and make sure that things are going in the right direction. And here's a real common place where people kind of mess up, because they might micromanage here. They might check in too often or too in too detailed a way.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be sure that especially if it's the first time they're accomplishing this task, that they're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to, when it's all done, you want to take a look and say, how did that go? And having made course corrections, then you can, decide next time what course corrections are necessary for the next time.
Got it. Now, that plan makes perfect sense, and I like it. But now let me sort of dig in a little bit and ask some pointed questions. Now, it seems like this process does take some time to talk about, laying out what success looks like, what the limitations are. And as a result, it seems like if it's a relatively quick task, do you delegate? I'm trying to figure out what you delegate and what you don't, because if a task is only going to take a few minutes, is it worth the process of going through this process and monitoring and tracking? And obviously, if it's very quick, you don't have that process. But talk to us about what should be delegated and what are you really referring to? Are these big tasks, little tasks, medium tasks, all tasks?
Well, I think, we're all of us who are achievers in our lives, you're always tempted to say, you know what, it's just easier and quicker to just do this
right.
myself.
Right.
But you know what, in the long run, it's not. You have to look at the time spent as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, if I can get this off my plate with an hour or a month or whatever amount of coaching, it will stay off my plate. And so in almost any task is really fair game for delegating. There are some tasks that you really can't delegate. You can't delegate firing someone, for instance.
Right.
But I would say some are really ripe for delegation. I mean, really repetitive tasks and things that happen the same way every month or every whatever. But I would say almost any task is a candidate, because if you can define the whole sort of nut or meat of the task that includes, what is the definition of it, what are the decisions that need to be made around it, what is the necessary outcome, not necessarily what steps do I have to take by rote to get there, because that's one of the things you're delegating to the person, is to figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can figure that out for a task, then you can move it off of your plate, and it's probably worth the investment in the time. So I would say there's very little that you cannot delegate.
Okay. Excellent. What about delegating virtually? I know there's a lot of virtual assistants or overseas help. Do you have any thoughts on what you can delegate effectively using your like 4 or 5 method that has to be in person versus virtual?
I think if you can define the desired outcome, and if you can be comfortable with how you define that virtually, with the communication method that you can use there, if you can define the desired outcome, if you can define the restrictions or parameters, then I think you can delegate virtually. I would probably start with something fairly small. But anyone who's worked with overseas vendors is essentially delegating virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of really, really working on your communication skills there and being sure that you have an agreement and you know when you have an agreement.
Got it. Good points. What about problems that tend to come up when delegating? Are there any typical problems that come up and thoughts on how to overcome them?
Well, lots of times you get employees who already have a pretty full plate.
Okay.
And so maybe they would say, really, I don't want that, or I can't take that on. And you need to assess the priorities that they're working under and figure out, in fact, if they really do have a full plate or if they need their priorities juggled. Maybe those employees need to delegate too.
Right.
You have problems and issues with micromanagement that runs both ways. I think with entrepreneurs especially, you have people who have a very good idea of how they think something ought to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may be a little bit in your employee's hair a little bit too much. But then you also have employees who've been trained by the manager or the entrepreneur that that this person is going to want a lot of input. And so they might go running to the entrepreneur, the manager, all the time. Mm-hmm. What do I do next? What should I do next? And so that becomes a sort of self-perpetuating cycle that I think you really need to look at it and discipline yourself about. I mean, this is delegation for anyone takes really sitting down and making yourself do it. Almost everyone feels that it's just easier to do a lot of things themselves.
Right.
So I think that, you know, when someone comes to you and asks for help, it's very flattering. And you think, well, of course, I can help you with this.
Right.
And then you notice that what's that great article? Who's got the monkey? You know, the monkey's right back on your back. You
right.
Know?
Right.
So, you want to avoid that, and at the very most, turn it into a coaching session, and say, well, let's think about that. What is your next step? Rather than riding to the rescue, which we're all so very good at.
Got it. So I guess a lot of what I'm hearing is that when you delegate, you do get it off your plate, but you can't just say, hey, you go do this. You have to invest some time in finding the right person and actually sort of coaching them, as you're saying. So it's not like, hey, this was going to take me 8 hours, and now it's going to take me 3 minutes to tell someone else to do it, but it's not going to take me 8 hours, but I'm going to have to spend maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes actually laying this out mm-hmm. and coaching the person. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, well, it could even take more than 8 hours the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be more trouble the first time.
Right.
But you have to think of it as something that is worth the investment.
Got it.
But,
so it's the investment that you're going to get the long. You're creating essentially an asset within your organization that somebody else can do something that you previously did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you're building your organization, and that frees you up for that next month. You'll have those 8 hours. This month you may not, but next month
right.
you will.
Okay, and this goes back to clearly, in terms of thinking about what things to be delegated. One of the things you did mention was repetitive tasks, things that you are doing month after month, week after week, that may not be the highest value to your time. Those, you think those are the highest priority tasks to delegate?
Yeah, I would say anything that is not the best value of your time, you should be looking for someone else who can do it. And the clear example of that is tasks that are repetitive that don't require your thinking to do,
mm-hmm.
but just have to get done. Well, clearly, you, the owner, entrepreneur, the reason you're there is because of your thinking.
Right.
And so if you spend your time not thinking, then you aren't spending your time doing what needs to be done. And even lots of times, these tasks, it's not that they're rote or not interesting tasks. It may just be that you don't have to think about them because you've done them 9 million times.
Right.
And so it's a growth opportunity for someone else, and they will have to think about them, and they will have to understand something about the business that they might not understand right now. For you, it's not a growth opportunity. It's a time sink. And so that is, of course, the very first place to look. Yeah.
Now, a lot of times, we talk about the entrepreneur as being a micromanager and a bit controlling in general. And what about the a lot of times, we as you've said, hey, it's just easier to do it myself. And the mindset of not only that, but if somebody does it, they're not going to do it either the same way or quite as well. And is that something that the entrepreneur business manager just has to get over and accept that it's not going to get done quite as well? Or is it something that they should be part of the coaching and, the feedback loop?
Well, I think two things. I think one needs to learn what is good enough.
Okay.
And learn to accept what is good enough. And second, one needs to define the parameters of successful completion of the task. And hopefully one will define those as good enough plus whatever.
Right.
But I think both of those are critical. I mean, the person to whom you have delegated needs to know how well this needs to be done. Do I need sales numbers going back, for the last 4.5 years or the last 4.5 months, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
that has to be defined. But just at some level, the perfection of the way I would do it, A, it's subjective on my part. There probably are 20 very good ways to convey information or to accomplish a task.
Mm-hmm.
But it might not need to be at that level of perfection.
Got it.
So there are lots of factors there.
Got it.
I think the entrepreneur just needs to accept that.
Got it. It makes a lot of sense. So also, how does the last step in terms of delegation that you started talking about was, you know, evaluating, you know, performance and how well the person who you delegated to did or completed the task. Is this a time where the entrepreneur or whoever delegated should get very nitty-gritty and say, hey, it should have been done slightly differently? Or do you, you know, it goes a very similar question. Do you accept that? Or, you know, is that, can you micromanage at this point? Or do you make that, you know, hey, I accept it that it's done slightly off?
Well, I think there's a difference between differently and off.
Okay.
if they accomplished the goal you wanted mm-hmm. using their own method, you know,
okay.
I live near Boston. If I can drive to Boston, there's probably 10 ways I could get to Boston.
Right.
You know, maybe you would take a certain route. I would take another one. You know, mm-hmm. if I got there in the same amount of time and didn't use a lot more gas, you know what? You just pat me on the head and say, great. If there was a not quite up to standard, either in the final output or in some other aspect of it, maybe it took longer than you hoped, maybe it's not as polished as you would like, then that's a coaching opportunity for the next time if it's a repeating task. So, you know, this is a great first effort. You know, I wasn't born knowing how to play the violin. You know, you have to do things several times in order to get to where you can be proficient at them. You know, this is a good first effort. Now let's see what we want to do differently next time. What would be an improvement on this? How could we do it better? There's nothing wrong with pushing for improvement and for the highest possible quality. It's just important, I think, to differentiate between what is high quality and what's my way.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. What about in terms of the person to delegate the job to? And the question I have with regards to that is, you know, I'm the boss, I'm the head entrepreneur, the manager, and I have, you know, three people reporting to me, and two of which are really busy, one has some time, but maybe that one person that has the time may not be the best match for this skill set. What would your recommendation be regarding, do I delegate it to the person who has more time but less of a skill set, or do I sort of overburden the subordinate that has a better skill set?
Well, you know, I think I'd look at time later in my decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
I think you want to delegate to someone who you think can succeed at it. So skill set, I think, is important. Either that they have the skill set, or they can and should acquire the skill set. I mean, you don't necessarily want to train everybody to do everything.
Right.
So you probably want to delegate to someone for whom this will be a learning and a growth opportunity, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly want to delegate to someone who cares about the outcome, who's involved in some way with it, that the outcome matters to them, hopefully and professionally. In other words, that if you're delegating collecting data, that this person needs good data, for instance.
Right.
If all three of those people that you described earlier were equally well met all three of those things, of course I would give to the one who had the most time. But if one of those people really fit the criteria and yet didn't have a lot of time, I would start thinking about how I could create some time for that person if it was important to me. that they learn this skill, that they acquire this capability, then I would look at that person's schedule and see what I could take off of his or her plate and move over to this person down the road that's got some time.
Excellent. What about managing upwards so that if you work for somebody and that person is, you know, constantly rushing and doesn't have time to spend with you teaching something, can you ask that person to delegate more, and how should you manage upward?
If your boss doesn't let you do your job,
if your boss is just constantly, you know, not able to spend time with you because the boss is constantly saying, I'm too busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing 100 things.
Yeah, flying off here, yeah.
Exactly. So I was just, any thoughts you have on managing upward and trying to get your boss to delegate more because you're the subordinate and, you know, you realize that the company or your division would be more successful if your boss actually delegated and you'd actually be adding more value.
Well, then perhaps when the boss says, I've got to do such and such, you know, when it's something that you can or wish to help with, say, you know, why don't you let me take that this month?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't you let me try my hand at that? And usually once a boss realizes that you can be a go-to person, that you are committed and willing to put in the effort to learn new tasks and willing to do them right,
mm-hmm.
then they find time
right.
to help you through the rough spots.
I agree, that makes sense.
So if you can, you know, if you can say, you know, well, let me try my hand at that,
right.
You probably would be pleasantly surprised.
All right, good. Yeah, one of the things that we do here is that every morning we have a meeting where all of us go through the room and just list what are the top things that we're going to accomplish today, and me included as the head person here, and it actually works out well that we're forced to tell everyone what we're doing, and then we figure out what needs to be delegated, who has less work to do today, and how we can work together to get things done, and sort of forces me as the manager to reveal exactly what I'm doing, and everyone else can actually push me to say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, which works out very well.
Yeah, that's very smart, because when you make that list, you know, you realize, wait a minute, you know, did I leave my cape back home in the closet? You know, I'm
right.
Not Superman here. There's only so much I can accomplish if, you know, even if I had 24 hours to give to it, which I don't. Yeah.
Right, right. And one of the other things that I do is I keep a list of things that I do that I don't really like to do, like
mm-hmm.
faxing people. Like once in a while I, you know, mail a letter. There's just, I started keeping this list, and what I try to do is every month I look at that list and say, well, who can I hand these repetitive, annoying tasks to so that I don't have to do them, which is another sort of trick I use, which I think is pretty helpful.
And, you know, faxing people, that's a very good example of you know, that could just be a task you dump on somebody. But
okay.
If you can think about how to, you know, what is there any scope that can accompany that task that can make it actually useful for someone?
Huh.
You know, it's not really useful to just walk over to the fax machine and poke the number in.
Right.
Is there anything that goes along with that? You know, I'm floundering here because that's not something that,
you know,
I've thought a lot about. But
right.
one example that comes up is, you know, okay, we've got the board meeting coming up.
Okay.
Joe, I want you to make copies of the presentations for the board meeting. Well, you know, that's not really delegating a lot. You know, that's handing Joe a bunch of photocopying to do.
Right, right.
But if you said, Joe, I really want you to take over the administrative responsibility for the board meeting, that's a different, that's delegating. That's letting Joe spread his wings a little bit and say, okay, now there's 22 board members. I'm going to need this. I'm going to need that. It's not perhaps the most highfalutin of assignments,
mm-hmm.
but it has some learning in it that probably Joe is capable of.
Now, is this just a semantics change you made in terms of administrating the event versus making copies, or in the administrating version.
There's more to do.
There's more to do. You're giving them more responsibility.
You're saying, take care of this for me, not just here, make these photocopies, but, okay, we've got the board meeting coming up. Let's talk about the board meeting so that you're not just totally at sea, but, you know, how many board members are there? What needs to happen? Figure it out. Work up a system. Do it again next quarter.
Got it. So you spend the time with Joe the first time, and realize, once again, as you said, it may take longer for you to, it's going probably to take longer for you to do it along with Joe the first quarter, but since you expect to do it quarter after quarter after quarter, that over time, and it may, you know, your break even time-wise, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, but after that, you have Joe trained to just do it, and it saves you hour after hour, month after month, quarter after quarter.
Right, and you've also raised his level of engagement. You've raised his participation in the company. You've familiarized him with a little bit of how the company works, but the board, you know, there's a lot of benefit there.
Excellent, excellent. Now you mentioned that early on that, you know, delegating, it's hard. It's hard to do, and I think that it's something that as you said, you know, entrepreneurs and everyone struggles with. And are there any sort of tips to, you know, getting people to take that first step to delegating? People that are listening to this call, what can they do right away or within the next week to start improving their ability to delegate and accomplish more?
Well, I think to start with small, with one thing. You know, just think of one task that you know you should delegate. There's a hundred of them that you know you should. There's thorns in your side probably, but that you know you should delegate, and go start small and just go through the steps. Think about the task. Think about who you should delegate it to. Who would benefit from this? Who would do a good job? Define that task. Talk to the person and just do it once. And also, I would repeat that you really need to think about what's good enough. You know, define what success looks like. And success does not look like you. Success looks like what
right.
that person could do.
Got it. That sounds great. And I want to reiterate this, thinking about, and what's really challenges me a lot of times and is thinking about that it is going to take longer that first time, particularly for these repetitive tasks. It will take an investment of your time, an extra investment of your time and energy to get it done that first time. But when you look back months later or weeks later and someone else is doing it, you're so happy. You know,
it's joy
that you're no longer doing that.
Yeah. And think of all the time and money you're investing in your company as it is. You know,
right.
This is just another investment.
It's another investment and it's another asset that you're creating, which is somebody else's ability to do a task, freeing you up to do higher level stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Excellent. So, I have just one final question, and it's a big one, but it's, you know, what else about delegation, you know, should our listeners know that I may not have asked you about?
Well, I guess on both the positive and the negative side, that when you delegate, you're still in control and responsible. You know, one of the reasons I think entrepreneurs don't delegate is because they feel so responsible for everything that happens at their company. How could anyone, you know, how could they actually let anyone else do anything important? But, you know, you're still on the hook for it. You're still on the hook for the results. But you're also still in control because you are going to monitor it along the way. So, you know, you need to figure out what the checkpoints are so that you can, you know, make sure that this is going to come out the way it needs to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to lose control just because you've delegated it.
Got it.
You know, it's also to try a couple of times because you will learn too. You'll get better at this.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I guess I didn't think about that, is that you, as you delegate more, you get better at the process of delegating, you get more and more success. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, excellent, Perry. This has been very, very helpful. I think I've gotten a lot of information out of it, and I think that everyone that's listening to this interview is going to get a ton of information out of it and a ton of value out of it, and I hope that everyone does what you said, which is let's just start small and let's start. I hope that everyone could start with one thing right now. If they can, you know, just take out a pen and paper and write down and think through just one thing that you're going to delegate, because as you just said, you know, one thing, you learn how to delegate better and you get better and better at it. And over time, you're delegating more and more things and you're spending your time doing the highest value things of growing your business and being successful. So, Perry, once again, thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking with Perry McIntosh, and I just want to spell your last name again, McIntosh. And if you want to learn more about Perry and her books, you can just go to a site like Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and type in Perry McIntosh, and her books will come right up. So, Perry, once again, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.